Rightio, and welcome to my first ever Talking Trotters. This is going to be a regular on a Monday night, proudly brought to you by Harass to Trotters, where I'm going to try and recap on the events of the Trotters, how they performed over the week, promote them in a light so that people are aware, try and bring some of the breeding and differences that might happen during the week and highlight those and also highlight some of the better races. We've got the Inter Dominion coming up. We've got a lot of good racing coming up very, very shortly. But this show will purely be about the Trotters. And it is brought to you by Harass to Trotters, who continue to support both Campbell's Comments and the harness racing industry in general. And they had a huge night on Friday night. I've got a couple of interviews lined up already. I have Nathan Jack as my first interview, and he had a good night Friday night driving three of the Harass to Trotters winners, plus also the Locomotive, who is bred by Harass to Trotters. And then also I caught up with Duncan McPherson. But what I might do initially, I might actually bring up Nathan's interview, and when we come back I have a little bit of a chat about the achievements that he was able to achieve. Right, Talking Trotters now, proudly brought to you by Harass to Trotters, and they've had a pretty big week actually. I thought I'd take 5 minutes to catch up with Nathan Jack. Firstly, thanks for joining me, Nathan.
No worries, Paul. Always a pleasure.
You don't even know what the show's about, mate, so I really do appreciate it. You've done a good job. You had a huge night last night. You've had actually a huge week, and we will probably cover off on one of the highlights, if you like, at the end of it. But big night last night, three winners for Anton and the team at Harass to Trotters to start it off. It must be good coming to big nights like that and I suppose reaching success.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always good when you, prior to the meeting, when you look at the book and think, oh, I've got a good book of drives, and when it goes to fruition, it makes it all worthwhile, that's for sure.
Just quick, we might go through them quickly, but Revelstoke, she's professional. She's a filly with a big future, isn't she?
Yeah, I love her. She's only knee-high to a grasshopper, but Ladies in Red, small, Courage on the Fire was small. That doesn't sort of stop them. They've got good strides, and she's a really good horse going forward, I think, yeah.
I was going to say that. She's got a magic stride, isn't she? She just seems to float over the ground.
Yeah, well, she's, like I said, she's this tiny little thing, and she wears this great big long cart. You can nearly tie two on the side and be safe, because she kicks the wheels, but that's how long her stride is. You know, you'd think she'd be going a real little cart and you'd get her real short, but you can't. She's just got such a big stride.
How big a future has she got?
Oh, well, she's beat the fast class of sort of trotters, like country trotters, and she's only a three-year-old filly, so I think in 12 months' time she'll be going around in the big races.
Cravoche Dior, he's a horse I think a lot of people for over a long time have really, really liked him, and just maturity. He seems to be getting better and better, but last night what he was able to do just keeps improving in his maturity, going back to the inside and holding off a real... Oh, no, he didn't go to the inside. Sorry, he sat in the def and he parked. But he, you know, having that Plymouth Chub, who's a winner, likes to win races, coming down, but he just keeps putting that head out, keeps getting the job done.
Yeah, he's a horse I've got a lot of time for. I've had a big opinion of him since I first drove him and put the kiss of death on him at Kilmore one day when I thought he was unbeatable and he was probably below par, but the stable took the blame for that. But since then, he's bounced back and he's just a winner, that horse. He just finds a way. Like, he was beat last night, he was buggered, and he still sort of stuck his head out and fought off the challenges in 56 and a bit after chairing up. So, a huge effort.
I might have interviewed you before that night and said he was unbeatable as well, I think, and we managed to both get him beat. And then Amandine to round out the three for Anton last night, but it was a stable trifecta. One, did you think Lee was going to beat you up the inside?
I did, but Amandine's another winner. You know, she tries really hard, and she was tired last night. She was tired going into it. I think the heat run knocked her about. She had a tough run in the heat, and I just think she never recovered from it. But great effort from the team at home, Yabby Dams and Auntie and Ben and all the boys that have sort of had to carry Anton while he's been injured. You know, it's a lot of pressure there doing that job, and especially for young people, and they sort of put their hand up and showed that they can do it. So, yeah, they're really impressed with them. Good job, boys.
The team are doing a great job, and you're right, it's a big team, right? And to Tracy, that just keeps bubbling away and keeping them going, and she must be great to come back to the scales sometimes with you, is she?
Yeah, she's always bubbly in that. She doesn't really know that much about them. She said she only learnt the other day that they can go good even though if they don't win. So that was new to her. So that's always good. She's learning each time. But you need people like that in your team. Like, she's no doubt she does a lot of work behind the scenes as well.
They're playing a huge part as well as with the progeny. They're getting out in the racing circles and selling through the nutrient sales and that. the locomotive. Firstly, last night, you said there before about Amandine maybe a bit tired. He might have felt the effects of the Sydney, maybe the Sydney trip as much as the Sydney run.
Yeah, I'm sure the trip was more than the run. And sort of won really easy in Sydney, but another one, you know, 2 minutes 0.6 for the long from the back row draw around the field to the front. This early, well, no, it's not that early in the season, but it's still early for him. He's a veteran of five starts, you know. It's a pretty good effort, and I think he'll improve a lot as well. I think he'll have a freshen up now and get ready for the bigger races, but he's going to be a really strong hand in them big races.
I didn't catch up with you afterwards. I caught up with Wayne, and it was great to see. I think it's Greg. Is it Greg or Glenn that was there? Glenn that was there. The joy. He just keeps growing. I seen you on the Tuesday. He was green on the Tuesday at Menangle, wobbled all over the place. He comes back a week, 10 days later. He was just so professional. He looked like he was sort of half out on his feet here, but there is something about him, isn't there, as a horse?
Yeah, he just sort of waits for him a little bit at the moment. He doesn't know how to put him away just yet. He sort of waited. Once he seen Greg last night, he got going again, but... yeah, it's probably not a bad trait to have, but I think, yeah, like he's an impressive horse. He just keeps looking better and better each time he fronts up to the races.
It was a big effort by Harassa Trotters that night, actually, the Group 1 in Nutrien, first three home, all bred, born and bred and raised there, so do a good job. Just a couple of the other trotters, because you are a little bit time poor, but Shawnee just keeps getting the job done. We were talking to Pat last night, myself and Cam Bray were there, and he's got a soft spot for him. I think there's a big backstory to the horse, but they got some high hopes for him, but he keeps getting the job done so far.
Yeah, he's a great big fellow. He's a big raw green bugger, but he's impressed me every time I've sat on him as well. I drove him a couple of times before he fronted up at the races, and I think another one in 12 months' time, he's going to be going around in town.
Do you like driving the trotters?
Well, the fast ones I do, the easy ones I do, but no, I do. Everyone used to say, oh, driving a good trotter is better than a good pacer, and I thought, oh, no, it can't be, and then sort of drove a long time ago a filly called Flash Tina. She was a very good filly. And then horses like Sundon's Gift, I got to drive him. And the good ones, another one was Will Trapper. He was a great horse as well. And the good trotters are better to drive. They're just much more fluent. And, yeah, it's just a natural gait.
Flash Tina, she was a ripper. Fast.
I forgot Dance Craze too. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. You're driving your son. That's how old you are now. You're driving progeny of her as well. What was I going to say just very quickly? Sergeant Stride started favourite the other night at Bendigo, but for mine, he looked like a horse just got a little bit lost in his action in the run, but he looks like he's got a bit of a future.
Yeah, I really like him. Big raw sort of fellow, and he's only had two real quiet trials, and I think the quickest he's gone was a mile in six, and they run a half in two or something the other day, the first half, and he just got lost a little bit chasing, and he hasn't had to do that, so front him up again in a few weeks' time, I think you'll see a different horse, but I do think he'll be a really nice horse, big sort of green fella, but he's going to take a bit of time, but I think he's going to make it.
No, thanks for joining Talking Trotting. That's proudly brought to you by Harassa Trotters. I don't think it'll be the last time I'll be interviewing you, mate, with what you've got lined up, and we'll catch up a bit more time for you. You've got to go and drive one in the first year at Melton. They're going out on the track, so you'll be in trouble, but just blame me.
That's all right. No worries. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Nathan.
Thank you.
Back there. Thank you very much to Nathan Jack for giving me a little bit of time. As you can see, he ran off. I think they were going out onto the track, actually, for the race one at Menangle there on the Melton, sorry, the other night. Might say onto that race meeting there on the Friday night, and some really, really good results. One thing I want to try and do is highlight some of the results from some of these trainers. The Bronsons, Richard and Emmett took out race number one with Baltica. They had an awesome night. Gunning was okay. I was meant to ask Nathan about Gunning. I think he was a nice enough return. Good to see the boys, the Jamison boys from New Zealand going. Good. Two were scooting around running third there. That was race number one. Race number two was the Delvin Dancer 4-year-old classic won by Aldebaran Zeus. I will skip over this race because I catch up with Duncan McPherson as well to talk about that, but also a couple of other little things there. The Bob Conroy 2-year-old Trotters Classic was taken out by the Locomotive. It's a Group 2 event this. He won a Group 1 the week before. He's just going terrific there by Muscle Mass out of La Cucaracha. Bred by Yabby Dam Farms, and giving everyone a great feel. Wayne Potter's doing a terrific job with him too, bringing him back from Sydney. I think that was a huge effort, and Nathan spoke there just before, maybe just showed the signs of the long float ride back. He just was a little bit tired towards the end, but he's a lovely horse, and he's doing a great job for Wayne and everyone involved. Revelstoke, probably a drop down in grade for her, but she did a terrific job there, winning the Need for Speed Consolation Final. Nice last couple of quarters, 29-4, and then zipped home in 28-5. Did it very, very easy, but Eddie Tapp's having a great run with On Bobby, and I called it early that he'll run second, and he got her home in the last few strides. So well done to him. Mercenary running third. Wish Upon a Dream. I know Rebecca Morris, he was extremely happy with that as well. So then we go to Olivici winning the Tornado Valley, and it was great to see Tornado Valley there on track as well, taking out race number five, though, at Melton the other night. Of course, by Orlando Vici at a Belgellion, and Orlando Vici's semen is available through Harass de Trotters, and he's just doing an awesome job, this horse. Duncan goes into a little bit more depth, but yeah, some of the exciting four-year-olds this season's got, and he's well and truly up there. He has been aimed at the Inter-Dominion, so it's going to be a lot of excitement, I suppose, about that. She's Pleasure. Dennis Payton and David Aiken did a really, really good job, of course, with Nathan in the cart. Cravoche Dior, he got up. He's a winner. He had to hold out a winner, though, in Plymouth Chubb, and great to see him coming back. Peter Manning said to me on Saturday night that that's as fast as he's ever trotted Plymouth Chubb. So that's a pretty good sign there of where he's at in his fitness, and is he going to come back or not. Cravoche Dior, of course, made it a double for Orlando Vici there, and been out of Muscle and Blues, bred by Yabby Dam and owned by Yabby Dam. RC Phoenix was a lovely run as well. There's a couple of nice runs out the back, but yeah, great to see Cravoche Dior getting the chockies, but Plymouth Chubb returned the form, which was really, really good. Amandine and Egret fought out a stirring finish there in the Group 1 Need for Speed Princess Final. It was a trifecta for Anton Galino with La Perriere, and he's a couple of the interviews I've done with Anton, he's thanking his staff. He had four horses in that race. It was a big team effort to get all the horses there. And but this filly's by Village Mystique. She is a winner. She knows where to put the head out and knows how to find the line. We then had the George Gaff, first time being ran at Melton, previously at Shepparton. Taken out by Mari Law. Fred Cruz had a great night as well as the Bronsons. That's a double for Fred as well, being out of Sun Donna. Brownlow Prince was good for Chris Finozio, and Powder Keg was a lovely eye-catching run. He got home well. His Lisa's been teaching him to run up the inside, and he could be dangerous in some of these bigger races going forward. And then Alpha Male took out the Catnac Jewelers Trot for Emma Stewart and Mark Pitt, and he is a lovely horse by Majestic Sun out of Aleppo Midas, and bred by Dale Eastman, just lives around the corner from me, but he's a lovely horse. He's got a few issues, but if they can get him back, he's going to be a lot of fun. So bit of a wrap of what was a huge night going there at Menangle the other night. That's what I'm going to try and do. We've got a couple other people and achievements that did happen, but as I said, this is brought to you by Harass the Trotters in the 2022 stallion season. They will be standing all those there on board. You've got Bird Parker, Bold Eagle, Berentissimi is also booked out since this has been updated, but Iridan, Love You, Orlando Vici, I just said there what a job he's doing. $11,000 in Australia, $12,000 New Zealand. Of course, it's frozen semen, but Quaker Jet, The Best Madrick, and Tomoko, they are all frozen. But standing in Australia and New Zealand, well, in New Zealand, we've got On Solitaire. And then in Australia, both standing at Cobbity Farm, we've got Classic Connection and Honor Streak. And then also standing at Cobbity Farm, but in Queensland, is Used to Me. And he's going to throw a lot of intrigue to the Queensland breeding part of the I suppose, the trotting world. And it's great to see everything going so positively there with the trotters and how they are going there. I spoke very quickly there before about the Cobbity Equine Race Series. It's the Harass the Trotters Cobbity Equine Farms Classic. It's a $75,000 two-year-old colts and geldings and a $75,000 two-year-old fillies race for the babies coming up very, very short. Well, coming up next, it'll be in 2 years' time, because if you breed this year, you are eligible for those there. And it's basically you breed to any of the Harass the Trotters stallions, you are eligible either frozen or chilled. You are eligible to be partaking into that race, and there'll be a lot more information coming on with that very, very shortly. I do apologise for not turning my phone off there, but we will continue with the show, and it'll be fine. I said there in the start I caught up with Duncan McPherson. This show, I want to try and catch up with as many people as I can going forward, and I put a tease there that I'll sit down with Duncan. I'm going to try and sit down with Pat Driscoll. You know, there's quite a few people. I'm going to New South Wales next week. Won't always be in this format, this show, but I'm going to talk trotters. You never know who I might catch up with next week. Being able to talk to them, drivers, trainers, and just highlighting some of the achievements of the trotters. And it was great to catch up, and always is with Duncan. I said 5 minutes, and I think it goes for about 20, this interview, but it's full of insight, and it was just great to catch up with him. So we'll go to Duncan now, and I'll be back just after this interview. Duncan McPherson joins me now talking trotters, something that Duncan enjoys doing a lot. Hello to you, mate.
Good morning, or good afternoon indeed. How are you, Paul? You must be late out of bed.
Thank you for joining me on something I'm going to try and do as a regular. You and I catch up quite regularly anyway, but to promote the trotters and get the message out there of what the trotters are doing both here in Australia, abroad, New Zealand, because they're excelling in our industry, especially here. And we'll keep it going. I don't edit, so I'll leave that in there. Firstly, I want to quickly touch on Elder Baron Zeus. But before I do that, Duncan, did you ever see Delvin Dancer? Was that a lot of people ask me about Delvin Dancer as a horse. Do you know a lot about Delvin Dancer?
No, I might have been a bit before. I mean, I think he was a bit before my time. I'm sure my father watched him many, many times. But from a recollective point of view, I reckon he was before my time. And I'm just showing how youthful I am in real life, mate.
No, I know he was a champion horse. It's just one of those horses. Yes. But to win the first running of it last night, that must mean a little bit to you anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I think that HRV rang me quite a while ago earlier in the year about repositioning the Need for Speed series. It was late last year because the Need for Speed Prince and Princess were in alongside the Breed for Speed series. And it was felt that the three-year-olds were a bit early, so the suggestion was we move it, and the question was where do we move it and how do we make it another grandiose all trotting night. So we put our heads together, and with the executive team at HRV we came up with a concept of a two-year-old, three-year-old and a four-year-old classic, particularly the four-year-old, because there's not a lot of races for four-year-olds as they lead in, as we all know, and then we tied the Need for Speed so we could have then pretty much the baseline for another all trotting night in the Southern Hemisphere, which I think, which was wonderful. You know, two group ones, three group threes, even four group threes, group twos they were.
Yeah.
380,000, 91 horses, 9 races, 98 horses, 9 races. And I think that what they need, the ideology going forward, seeing the success and the brilliant times and everything that was run last night, it'd be nice to see that feature on a Saturday night next year.
Yeah. Make it the prime time and put the paces
absolutely
on, put the paces absolutely the other way.
Oh, nothing wrong with the paces, but I mean they've got $180,000 worth of prize money and 10 races and 91 horses, so we've got more horses, more prize money, more group racing, and okay, we got punted on a Friday night, but I'd like to think going forward we can showcase it and you know, get it as part of our international strategy to make sure we've got some attraction and traction on the other side of the world.
There's two parts to it. I can remember it wasn't that long ago doing an all trotters day at Maryborough. I think it was for the Sire Stakes or the Vic Bred back then. Sorry, I get into trouble for saying Sire Stakes, but the Vic Bred. And you know, it was fanfare because it was something out of the norm other than Redwood Day. Now, I don't know how many all trotters day we have. They don't even get any fanfare. It's probably a little bit unfortunate that people aren't aware that it's just an all trotters day. It's just part of the norm now, which is terrific for trotting. And it's great how it's come about, but it's probably a little bit disappointing as well that it doesn't get a lot of fanfare anyway.
Well, I mean, as a sport, we don't get a lot of fanfare. I mean, the Herald Sun had a lift out of all the major sporting events for the summer. There's beach volleyball, there's badminton, and there's every other sport, but harness racing didn't get a gig. And yet we've got the Inter Dominion, we've got the big New Year's Eve celebration, and we've got Breeders' Crown. And we can't get a line item in some of the feature events. Now, whether that's us or it's Herald Sun or the marketing that needs to be reviewed, surely if we're going to be relevant to the public and we've got $1 million worth of prize money on offer, surely that can get a one-line item in a feature events calendar for sports over the summer period.
Oh, absolutely. That's sad. That I didn't notice. I don't buy the Herald Sun, so I think that's a little bit of the way it's going a bit that way anyway, but it is sad that they can't mention it. So.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, most probably not a lot of people realise that there is that lift out. And if you're a mum and dad or anyone at home and you're trying to work out what you'd like to do and how you'd like to be entertained over the summer period, if you actually saw a line item that said, you know, trotting or trotting night or whatever it may be, then you may prick the interest of people that have from years gone by who used to have got good memories of the experiences at Moonee Valley and the showgrounds. And if we can reignite some enthusiasm around our sport, then the rest is history, isn't it? So I'm sure that the new teams at HRV will take any comments on notice, and I'm sure that next year there'll be a more concerted effort to make sure that we become relevant to the general public.
No, absolutely. I think that is very, very, it's something we've got to make more people aware of how great, especially the trotters are going. the fields last night, as overall, just high quality horses. Great to see such a huge spread of trainers now coming into the Trotters Dunk. It's one of the great things that I love. I think, you know, Anton dominated the night, harassed the Trotters with a large lot of horses there. But people like Emmett Bronson still got a double. They ran second to you in your race. He's the Inter-Dominion winning trainer. It's just sensational, the depth of trotting trainers now that are doing an exceptional job.
Well, I think we talk about it all the time, and the trainers are exceptional. Their craft and their skill is getting better with the genetic improvement that's coming through. And if you go and look at the times that were run last night, if you'd said that 5 years ago or 8 years ago even, you've really got to be a sub-2-minute juvenile to be competitive at the senior level now. And, it's testament to the efforts of the breeders and also to the efforts of the trainers to improve the gate and look after the animals and peak them at the right time. And I think we saw some wonderful efforts there last night, over the 22, 40s and so on. And, even the two-year-olds ran 2 minutes flat, basically. So,
yep.
The days of a 2.5 juvenile classic are long gone. So I think it's just bigger and better as we go forward. And got to remember that 2 minute flat's over 22.40. So if they put them over 17.20, I reckon every single one of those races last night would have been sub 2 minute.
It's something I love. I was in Sydney the week before for the Nutrien Classic, and it was over the 2300 as well. I think these longer distance racing, I think it'll help us going forward. It will be measurable in when they're 4 and 5 year olds, these horses, because they're not running fast times. They're settling and still running good times, but not ridiculous.
Yeah.
Talking Trotting is a show I'm going to do weekly, and I'm going to sit down one day, Duncan, with you and have a chat leading up probably to the Inter-Dominion and going forward. So I'm going to try and keep this a little bit brief. But Aldebaran Zeus, firstly, you must be wrapped with him.
Yeah, he's come back pretty well. He was a as the story goes, he was passed in, couldn't get a bid for him at the yearling sales. And so, you take some home and you feel a bit disappointed. But he's from the day the day Danny put him in a cart and the day that Brent Lilly put eyes on him, he's been a really nice horse. And we, a bit like some of the other horses that upper level, Olavici's going well, Parisi Nartis won the other night. There's a fantastic group of four-year-old trotters coming through. And if we all look after them and don't over race them, and I mean, we haven't run into Olavici yet. He's had 5 starts as a four-year-old. We've had 3. One day we're all going to bump into each other, and I'm sure that it's going to be one of the greatest four-year-old features that's ever been in Victoria. And Zeus, yeah, look, he's thickened up. He's much more race friendly now. He settled beautifully again last night. He wouldn't have done that as a late 2-year-old, early 3-year-old, and he's got gears and buttons, and Maliki got it right. When you push the button, he can let down. And last night for him was a lovely to pick up a group two, but to do it and the way he did it, 59 plugs in and a 200 meter sprint up the straight, it was a really good effort. So we look forward to the next few races with him, and obviously everyone tries to aim at the feature races in the Aurora Australis early in 2023.
It was a pretty drive by Chris, but it was a training drive by Chris as well, just sitting for as long as he could, and I suppose asking him halfway up the straight to really savage the line, like I think, he probably thought, well, you're going to win this race, but like training for the future, really, you could see the way Chris was driving him last night. And they're a good combination, aren't they?
Yeah, they get on very well. And I think that'll hold both of them in good stead as we go forward. I think they've got a pretty good knowledge of what each other can do. And Chris has really looked after him in all his races going over the period. And, he's only had, when I say only, he's had 27 starts or 28 starts, I think. But we only want to give him 10 or, 8 to 10 or 12 as a four-year-old and not over race him. And we'll just pick our way through the balance of the year and then aim, as a mature or juvenile five-year-old, if you like, aim at that Aurora Australis series in early 2023. That's really the objective for us. Plus, you've got Vic Bred Breeders' Crown, so and Inters if we want to have a look at it. So there's enough racing there to satisfy his appetite. And when you get to the marks that there are and the NR ratings that they are, as four-year-olds, you've got to pick your way through those group races. Otherwise, you're just not going to be in the game for long enough. And the object of him is, we'd like to race him as a five-year-old stallion, and hopefully if his record continues to improve, then maybe there's the opportunity for him to stand down at stud down here and be a fresh stallion on the ground and a local progeny. So it'll be a great outcome.
Gave a little tease then. So the Inter-Dominion's not off the table. It is there, like by the sounds of it, it's in the back of your mind.
The ultimate decision will be up to up to Brent Lilly. He'll discuss it with us. We're not about a short-term gain with him. We want to look after him, and we want to have a potential stud career. We've just got to weigh up whether four runs in over that period of time at his age, when we've got other opportunities, is really the way to go. Bit like Chris and his team, I spoke to a couple of those co-owners last night, and Anton, we all have the dream of taking a horse overseas and racing it. And if we can keep them good and keep them fresh and keep them sound, well, then we've got half a chance to do so. So, the Inters are there, but ultimately it's a decision that we'll sit down and make probably after this weekend. And probably one more run. So we'll see how this weekend pans out, which is, I think, the Australasian Trotters Championship stand over 2,700. So we'll go back to the stand and he steps away. So we'll just see how things pan out this weekend and we'll go one by one.
Olavici, Parisian Artiste, a couple of Antons. Is there the opportunity of a plane load of horses potentially going overseas?
We may all go to different destinations.
Yeah.
People have different aspirations as to where they'd like to race. And it's a matter of understanding what the opposition are doing overseas as well. So, there's two-year-olds at Kentucky last week going 52, 53. So we've got to understand that if we're going to go with our mature age horses, we've got to be in that 49, 50 bracket to be ultra competitive over there. So are we capable of doing that? I think if we keep looking after them and balance them up, and maybe as five-year-olds, they've got half a chance.
All right. You speak about overseas. Aldebaran Burst, one, you must be wrapped to have her on the, like, have her winning on. I know there's a long-term project for this filly to eventually end up down here, whether it's as a racing proposition or potentially even in foal come down later on. But to get the runs on the board so far, you must be wrapped.
Yeah, we for the last few years, we've purchased a filly. We've got a Chapter 7 filly up there called Aldebaran at Crook. She won the other week up at Poconos, so we're pretty fortunate. In August, we had both our three-year-old and two-year-old were winners on track. Bursts down in, she's a Walner filly. I wanted a Chapter 7, we wanted a Walner so that we've got something different to bring down here genetically. She's a big filly, the Aldebaran Burst, but she has been improving. So she's been pulling her times down around 1.5 seconds a run. She's had four runs. So she's down. She had a sloppy track the other day and they went 57. There was three heats and her time was faster than the whole other heat anyway. So we're pretty confident that she's, if we look after her, she'll be a better three-year-old than she's a two-year-old. But, yeah, lovely to get runs on the board, and we're pretty tickled pink that we've got an opportunity in the future to bring them down either in foal or race them down here. And then, of course, you know, we've got Maori Times first colt. We've syndicated 75% of him and he's now over in the US. So he arrived there about 8 days ago. So US interests were keen to purchase, and we think that's really exciting from Fred Cruz and Aldebaran Park, and from Manhammers to Terry's position in Sweden, that there's enough interest in the US to go after Maori Times Readily Express first bred colt. So watch this space. We're pretty excited.
Any races picked out for him, or is it just still?
No, he'll be broken in. He's had 8 days. He's had a week to settle, so he'll be off to the to be broken in, and then he's been staked, I think, for about 16 or 18 series over there as a two-year-old, which is what you've got to do as the staking program becomes available, and then we'll work out a calendar of events based on his, you know, ability and his performance and what he shows us on the track.
I'll keep up to date with that one. I'll get Fred Cruz on this show actually as well, so he'll give me more than what you will. You play your cards a bit close to your chest. Very quickly, Aldebaran Burst, when is the final?
20th, around the 22nd of September.
Okay.
So there's a round of heats on Tuesday. We're not going to go there. She's had a second, a fourth and a first, so we think she's got enough to qualify for that final. And then if it's not that one, there's another series straight after it. So there's some nice series for her. You know, there's different grades of of divisions of the series, if you like. So we're not trying to send her around in 53 or 54 at the moment. We're happy to go 56, 57 and just educate her. So when she's ready, we'll step her up to the next level and next grade. But so far, so good, and progress is progress. And Jonas Sunderson and the team over there are doing a wonderful job, and we look forward to hopefully getting across there in the short term and enjoying the fruits and savouring the reward.
Dunk, thank you. I could talk to you for a long time. I got a bloke in the background that said we've got to stay to 5 minutes, and I don't think we've done that at all. But thank you.
No, we haven't done too bad.
Talking Trotting is going to be a weekly show, so there'll be times, especially when you and I will be catching up, and I'd like to sit down and catch up with you on a couch or a stool somewhere, and we could go forever. But thanks very much for joining me for the first one. Well done with Aldebaran Zeus, Aldebaran Burst,
thanks,
and everything else you guys are doing in pushing the trotter onto this world stage. And it'd be great if we could get a truckload, a plane load of them going across. I think it'd be pretty exciting. So even if they all do go to a different destination, it's still going to be exciting for Australian trotting.
Yeah, I mean, you've just got to commend the people that are involved and the way that they are promoting the sport. And I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity for Southern Hemispherical trotting to cash in on and to make ourselves, as I always say, relevant to the international stage. And congratulations to everybody last night. It was a wonderful night of trotting. And I'm sure that if Harness Racing Victoria were able to slice the pie and create more opportunities and more Group 2s and Group 3s, I'm sure we could have two or three more trotting nights throughout the year without any drama in the world. So let's see how we go. But no, congratulations to everybody last night. And I'm sure that the interviews that come out of it, will be a great groundbreaker, if you like, as you lead into Breeders' Crown and Vic Bred and the upcoming Classics. So well done to you.
Just out of curiosity, very quickly, did they have the Sydney Swans on the big screen for you, or did you have to walk around looking at your phone?
No, we did have the big screen there, and it was a very big decision not to go to that game. But the theory was win, lose or draw, we were going to be playing next week. Well, it got better than that. So, yeah, the night couldn't have got much better. And, we don't say too much about the Swans because no one likes them anyway, but we'll see how we go. We only got a couple more wins and we'll be where we want to be. So happy days, mate. Happy days.
Dunk, thank you very much for joining me talking trotting, mate. Good. As I said, thank you.
Thanks, mate. We're hot to trot.
Right, welcome back, and thank you very much to Duncan McPherson. As I said, this is an all-trotting show. It's called Talking Trotting. It will get different. It will get bigger, better. I'm going away this week, so I possibly could be standing out in the paddock somewhere talking trotters. I might end up anywhere next Monday, and I'm going to try and go through all the results of everyone that actually wins the races through the Monday as well. And I will get plenty of insight from people like Duncan, Pat Driscoll, Anton Galino, and anyone else we can come across, just talking purely trotting. And we want to get the word out there of the trotters, because trotting is great. It's the best gate there is in harness racing, fastest growing gate in all three of the two gates, and it is incredibly growing all the time. And after the last Friday night before, when you saw horses of the caliber of Cravache Dior, Revelstoke, Amandine, we have Plymouth Chubb, Aldebaran Zeus, Olavici, and then I haven't even mentioned Mari Law. I mean, it's just, yeah, the trotters out there are just brilliant, the quality of them, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got the Inter-Dominion coming up. I'll do an Inter-Dominion countdown, but I try to do things differently here on Campbell's Comments, and this is one of those ones I just want to do, and I suppose raise awareness for people to be able to, one-stop shop for the trotters and the winners. And the one thing I will do is cover off on all the winners. I'm not going to cover off on Charlton today. There were some nice little winners there, actually, for a couple of the people. But I might go backwards. We'll go to Sunday at Cranbourne, and Captain McGraw for Terence Franklin and Scotty Ewan, 5-year-old son of Bacardi Lindy, got the trockies. There was only the one trot there this the other night at Cranbourne. They sometimes have one or two trots, but just have a look. Yeah, win number 5 from 51. So well done to Terence and Scotty Ewing there at Cranbourne. Ballarat had 4 trots. That was last Thursday night, 3 heats of an up to 47. Monsieur D'Amour for Michelle White, I love you out of Calder Fury, took out heat number 1, so well done to Michelle. Of course, Michelle is the sister to Karen Manning. Cork for the Murphys, David Murphy, and bred with John and a few other of the partners. Of course, he's a lovely little horse, Cork. He keeps popping up, bobbing up, I could say, couldn't I, in the ocean, Cork in the ocean. Son of Lawman does a great job. And then the third of those was Majestic Pride for Mickey Bellman and bred by the Hulls. And, of course, Majestic Sun, who just knocks up winning races as well, is the sire of Majestic Pride. So they were the three heats winners at Ballarat of the up to 47. Didn't see when the final was. I probably should have had a look beforehand. But well done to all those. They also had a three-year-old trot and Kenny Tippett. This is the beauty of trotters. Have a listen to some of the names we've read out of the people training on this door. Is by Creatine, bred by Brooklyn Lodge. So congratulations to everyone there with Heir Apparent taking out the three-year-old trot. And that's the beauty of the trotters. That's what I love about those. We've got Emmett, Anton, Nathan, Wayne Potter, yes, although Wayne's probably on a fringe, if you like. Duncan McPherson, all playing big hands in Friday night's meeting. Then we go to Ballarat, Michelle White, David Murphy, Kenny Tippett, Mickey Bellman, Terence Franklin at Cranbourne. Just good spread of horses. And that's why we love the trotters and love what the trotters are about. And I'm going to continue to bring those to you. It's brought to you by Harass the Trotters. It won't be all about Harass the Trotters sires and interviews. It will be about what happens for the week and how it all happens. So hopefully you like it. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could give it a like and subscribe to the channel, just continues to grow. Actually helps me grow the channel and I suppose makes it a bit better for me. So yeah, please, if you wouldn't mind, hit the like and the subscribe on that. If you're watching it on Facebook, hopefully you're already following Campbell's comments and you enjoy what I do. This is Talking Trotters, first episode. I'll be back next week. Second episode could be anywhere. It won't be as scripted, won't be always the same, me sitting at a desk. So hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully get a bit of feedback from people out there that love the trotters, and we will be back next Monday night from 6 o'clock. Thanks very much for tuning in to Talking Trotters.